Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. All right, Sister Jessica, you start us.
Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we are asking you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more.
For you know what instruction we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus.
God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
Not in passionate lust, like the heathen who do not know God.
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified.
For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness.
Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his holiness.
But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another.
And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more.
Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands just as we told you.
So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever.
Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
Amen. It's a little bit difficult to know where to start, isn't it? That last portion of the chapter speaks about the coming of the Lord, and it's a passage that we often use at funerals, because the apostle says here, now encourage or comfort one another with these words. And it speaks of the wonderful hope that we have. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. We have a hope that reaches beyond the grave. And when we lay a loved one or commit a loved one to the ground, to the earth, we plant them in hope of the resurrection, that we will see one another again someday. You and I are destined not to just live or just exist for this life, this world alone. You were made for eternity. You were made in the image of God, in the eternal image of God. And so there's life beyond the grave, and our hope reaches into eternity, that one day we will be like him, as we heard. And one day we will be with him in that place that he has prepared. It's interesting that, and maybe this is a little aside, you know, a little detour. It's interesting that sometimes we think of heaven as it's pictured to us as a city and a place, almost like a geographical place, a place that we go to. It's this beautiful city. And then I think if you read it carefully, you'll see that there are two things that make heaven what heaven is. and it's that God is there, but that you are there. The bride is there. The bride and the bridegroom, that really is what makes heaven. The saints of God, each now in their place, the place that God has ordained they fulfill or fill for eternity. And the fact that the Lamb is there, Jesus is there, those are the things that make heaven this glorious place. And you can just think about that a little bit. I'll think about it a little bit more too. But he also tells us here about something that we teach, that we've heard, about how do we get to heaven. If we don't die, if we're alive when Jesus comes, how is it that we get to heaven? What does it say here? What's the word that's used? We use the word rapture. You've heard that? The rapture. What's the word that, what's the phrase that's used here?
Caught up.
We're caught up. We're caught up. That's where we get that word, the idea of a rapture. Jesus is coming. He told, the angels told the disciples that were looking up when he left, that he was coming again, and he was going to come in like manner. As you've seen him go in the clouds, he's going to return. And it seems that there will be a time when he returns and we're caught up. Those who are have died in Christ, it says, will rise first. And they which are remain, those of us who are alive, will then be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? Well, I think the teaching that we have in Thessalonians is preparing us for that day. It's given in light of his soon return. Yes. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. And I think in the back of your book you have that song, "Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, sister, ready for the soul's bright home?" Will he find us watching? This church was admonished, or the testimony they had was that they were waiting for the coming of the Lord. They were eagerly expecting his return. They were looking for it. And who is it that God is returning for? Who is it that Jesus is coming for? A people that are looking for him. Unto them that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's for those who are longing for his appearing. And we might talk a little bit more about this, but I wanted to just go to the beginning of the chapter and just look at that with you. I asked you a question last night. What was the question I asked you? What did I want you to do for this morning?
The meaning of holiness and where is it found in the Bible?
You know, David, you are an excellent student. You guys ought to follow his example.
Great.
All right. Tell me. You want to call on somebody since you are such a good. Well, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be a good. It could be the guys.
Anyone has an answer can answer.
Oh, anyone. That's nice. You're a good teacher. Anyone who has an answer can answer. You don't put anybody on the spot. That's nice. I have to learn that. That was very good. All right. What does holiness mean? We sang it. Called unto holiness is our camp motto. Holiness unto the Lord.
Set apart for God, belonging to God, pure or godly.
Daniel, say that again, nice and loud and slow.
Set apart for God, belonging to God, pure or godly.
There were a number of things that were said there. The first one was set apart for God. Set apart for God. There's another word in the Bible. Well, it's really the first question in your books. What is God's will for Christians? What is God's will? We've talked a little bit about God's will and how we can find God's will and know God's will, and he wants to show us his will. Sometimes we think that has to do with what we're going to do with our lives, who we're going to marry, or where we're going to go serve God. But There are other things in the Bible that are very clearly taught as being God's will. This is what God wants for you. And what's one of those things? We have it in this chapter.
Sanctification.
This is the will of God, even your
sanctification.
Sanctification. Sanctification. Now those two words, holiness and sanctification, are, you think they're similar? Do they have the same meaning? What do you think? There is sometimes in the Bible they're interchanged. I think there might be some minor differences in them, but I think the thoughts are the same. To sanctify something is to make it holy. And so the idea of being separated. Separated for God. It seems that in the, you can think of the I'm thinking of people and also things that were used in the worship of the temple in the Old Testament. Those vessels, those things that were used in the worship of God, were set apart and they were made holy. They weren't things that were used for ordinary uses. They weren't common uses. And you have that in your homes. There are certain things, like I can't clean the fish tank with something that my wife uses to cook, because she will throw me out with the fish tank if I do that. And, you know, there are certain things that are set apart for certain uses. Is that true? Right? You know, we separate things and we say, no, we use this for that, and then this has a special use. And God would like to make us holy in that way. That we're separated, as it were, from the common. And what I mean by that is the world. We're separated from the world. And we're separated unto God. We belong to Him. Do you understand that? Tevin, you understand that? God wants to make us holy. He says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. All right, what was the second thing you said there, Daniel?
Belonging to God.
Belonging to God. Okay, we're His very own. And I think I touched on that a little bit. We're not only separated from, but we're separated to. You're mine. You're mine. I want your life to be wholly mine. Completely mine. Another place we read that we're a peculiar treasure. That doesn't mean we're strange. It means that we're His very own. We're His special treasure. He's chosen us for Himself. It's interesting that if you go, you can trace this through the Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament. You see that you have this holy God who almost seems unapproachable. And yet He makes a way for us, for sinful men and women, young people, children. He makes a way for us sinners to come near to Him. And the call to holiness is really a call for nearness to God. Do you understand that? He says, be holy because I am holy. Not because I want you to be somehow bound by rules and regulations, and you can only do certain things and you can't do other things. But the only way that you and I can really relate to God, a holy God, is if we are holy. We can't come into His presence. We can't experience His presence. We can't experience Him in our lives on a daily basis, moment by moment, unless we have this desire in our hearts to be holy as He is holy. And so that's where, you know, that song comes from last night that we sang. Called unto holiness, the camp song. Called unto holiness. That's found in the 7th verse of this chapter. That's why I was telling you. You can find it if you would read. It was right here. You see that in verse 7? What does it say? For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So you could say that God has called us to holiness, to be holy, to be like Him. Now, what else did? Was there something else you had there, Daniel? Was there another thing?
Pure and godly.
Pure and godly. Now, do you understand that? What does it mean to be pure or to be purified. I think the idea, if you go back again into the Old Testament, before the priests or the vessels could be used in the temple, something took place. They had to be washed. There was a cleansing, a purifying, physically, that took place. And that was a picture. That's a picture of what the blood of Jesus does for us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus gives us clean hearts. Do we need that? Do we need that? We live in a world where uncleanness and impurity abounds. And yet, we're called to be pure in His sight. Wash me now without within. Make me clean, oh, make me clean. My brother Daniel referred to Isaiah 6. And there the prophet saw how undone he was. He got a sight of the Lord. I've seen the Lord, he says. And he saw in the light of God's holiness how unholy he was. You know, the Lord has a way of doing that as we seek to be like Him. And as we look into His Word, as we draw near to Him, we sometimes get a sight of ourselves. I think one of the prayers that I've had to pray is this: Lord, I'm not like You. Lord, I see that I'm not like You. I react at times to my children in a way that's not holy. It's not the way God would react to them. It's not in love. And that's only maybe one thing. And there are other areas in my life, and there are areas in your life where you can say, Lord, I'm really not like You. I think the last phrase you said was to be godly, right? To be like God. And I think that's maybe the essence of holiness. I don't think you can really define holiness apart from God. Can you? I don't think so. And I think the goal, the end here, and the apostle says it. I like the phrase. Did you see where he says, I want you to do it more and more? He says that a number of times. Twice in this chapter and in other chapters, he says, I want you to do this more and more. And it suggests to me that there's a growth here. There's a progress. There's something that's worked out in my life. Am I holy all at once? Does it happen overnight? There are things that God does for us in a moment. Did you know that? When we come to the cross and we kneel at the cross, there are things that God does in a moment. He sets us free. He cleanses us. But then there's a working out of that salvation in our lives, and that's the work of sanctification. God is at work to change me into His own likeness. And how does that take place? We need the Word of God. You are being made holy in these days by the Word of God. If you allow the Word of God to work in your heart, then something is taking place to make you holy. There's a change that comes in our desires. Do you have holy desires? Are we born with holy desires? I'll tell you a little, maybe I've told you this before, but sometimes I don't even remember what I say, so you probably don't either. My first child, Caitlin, came into my life. Wow. That was a new experience for me. To have a little one, to be a father, wow. And I was a proud father, and I had a picture of Caitlin in my Bible. And I remember going to Ridgewood one morning, and I showed someone her picture.
Look at Caitlin.
And I said, she's such a good girl, you know. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Edwin was there. He overheard that. And he said, she was born in sin. You see, it's not natural for us to be holy. We don't find it in ourselves, the ability to be holy. But we're called by God to be holy. And the wonderful thing is that whenever God calls us to something, whenever God called someone in the Bible, He always gave them the grace, the divine help, the ability, the power of His Spirit to be what He called us to be. So if God calls me to be holy, do you think that I can attain to that? Do you think I can live a holy life? You think so? Is it possible? Is it possible that a sinner such as I, Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, is it possible that Paul could be holy? Is it possible for you and me in this world to be holy? Oh, but Brother Phil, you don't know the things I face. In school, you're an old fellow already. You don't know what it's like anymore. The grace of God, the Word of God. Now, I started with the Word of God. The Word of God is given, and the grace of God and the Spirit of God are given to make us holy. But what's really the secret to living a holy life? It's in your books here. If you have this, let's just take a look at these two little articles that are taken from My Utmost for His Highest. Is God's will my will? And this is the will of God, your sanctification. It says there, sanctification is not a question of whether God is willing to sanctify me. Is it my will? Do I allow God to do His work in me? Am I willing to let God do in me everything that He has made possible through the atonement of the cross of Christ? So, would a good question be this morning, do I want to be holy? Do I want to live a holy life? This is the will of God for you. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And so, receive Jesus Christ to become sanctification for you by absolute, unquestioning faith, and the great miracle of the atonement of Christ will become real in you. Now, if you turn over to the other side, you can read these by yourself at some point, but just turn over to the other side where it says sanctification. Let's read that first paragraph together. Sanctification means nothing less than the holiness of Jesus becoming mine and being exhibited in my life. The most wonderful secret of living a holy life does not lie in imitating Jesus, but in letting the perfect qualities of Jesus exhibit themselves in my human flesh. Sanctification is Christ in you. It is His wonderful life that is imparted to me in sanctification, imparted by faith as a sovereign gift of God's grace. Am I willing for God to make sanctification as real in me as it is in His Word? Let's just stop a minute and just consider that. What does He say sanctification is?
Christ in you.
Christ in you. Christ in you. Does that make sense? Who lived a holy life before God? Who was it? Who lived a perfect life before His Father? Jesus. Jesus. You know, I always marvel at the truths that we teach our children and how important they are if we as adults would really understand them. When we teach our children about salvation, what do we say? We say to them, you asked Jesus to come and live in your heart. How many times have we said that to our children? Salvation is asking Jesus to come and live in your heart. Right? We ask him to forgive our sins, and then we say, Lord, come and live in my heart. So this morning, if I looked around this room, I could say to you, where is Jesus? And you would say,
in me.
He's in my heart. He's in me. Now, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Salvation is Jesus living in my heart. And now when it talks about an impartation, now what does that mean? What does impartation mean?
Receive something.
Seems that something is given to us. And it's usually not given to us all at once. Well, it could be. But in this way of sanctification, it seems that the Lord imparts his life to us. And again, there's that more and more. I can have more of Jesus. I can more have more of his life. Now, do you agree? Does Brother Chambers have it right? Is this what sanctification is? What does the Bible say? In 1 Corinthians 1, is it verse 30? What does it say there?
Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was the secret that we sang about in holiness unto the Lord? It was James's favorite phrase.
Where did he go?
Not my own righteousness, but Christ within, living and reigning and saving from sin. This blessed secret to faith now made plain. Lord, I believe that you are in me. Jesus, you live out your life in me. You live out your holy life within me. And so I yield to his working. I give him place. You see, that's where the more and more comes in. It's as I yield to him, as I give him a greater part, as I allow him to take his place in my life, he is able to reveal himself more and more, not only in me, but through me. And I become more and more like him. That song, Oh to be like thee, is really a song about holiness, isn't it? Oh to be like thee. Oh to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Let's continue reading here and just finish. Together now, second paragraph. Sanctification means the impartation of the holy qualities of Jesus Christ to me. It is the gift of his patience, love, holiness, faith, purity, and godliness that is exhibited in and through every sanctified soul. Sanctification is not drawing from Jesus the power to be holy. It is drawing from Jesus the very holiness that was exhibited in him and that he now exhibits in me. Sanctification is an impartation, not an imitation. Imitation is something altogether different. The perfection of everything is in Jesus Christ. And the mystery of sanctification is that all the perfect qualities of Jesus are at my disposal. Consequently, I slowly but surely begin to live a life of inexpressible order, soundness, and holiness kept by the power of God. Amen. Amen. Let's just read those other definitions or those other thoughts at the bottom. It says, sanctification, together, is accomplished in no one by accident. Learn God's commands and put them into practice consistently if you desire to see progress in the growth of your soul. Do you understand that? It seems that I have something to do here. It's always that way, isn't it? We tell you that God does everything, and then we tell you you have something to do. So how does that work? How does that work? Huh? Because it's how I respond, how I take the grace that he gives, how I take the instructions. If I exercise my will in the way of his commandments, put them into practice consistently. Now, there were a bunch of commands in this chapter, and we don't have time to look at them, but you wrote them down, didn't you? Well, if you didn't, do it sometime today, all right? Not, well, I shouldn't say there's many, but there's a number of commands there. One of them is to love one another. Love one another! And then this next thing, holiness is not a feeling. It is the end product of obedience. Oh, I have to obey? I have to obey? I should obey what God says? Purity is not a gift. It is the result of repentance and serious pursuit of God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Our sister Collis, some of you know her, Sister Ruth, her and her husband, Brother Bob, were directors at the camp for a number of years after the Gardeners went to be with the Lord. And she said this one time, you know the secret? Here's another secret. The secret to live a holy life, you know what it is? It's to be in love with Jesus. To be in love with Jesus. The secret of a holy life is to be in love with Jesus. Are you seriously pursuing God? Well, if you love him, you will. And if you're not, you ought to say, Lord, put within me a desire to seek you, to love you, to have you. Lord, keep us. Keep us this day. Kept for the Master's use, kept by the power of God. Faithful is he who calleth you. The one who has called you to holiness is able to do it. Now, there's just one more thought here, and I'm going to say it very briefly, but it's this. There's a warning attached with this. This is not optional. What does the Apostle Paul say in verse 8? Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives us his Holy Spirit. Holiness is not an option. It's not something I can take or leave. Whoever rejects this instruction, is that what it says? Daniel, you're looking at it, right? That's what it says, right? Whoever rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. The Lord is not satisfied with just saving, as it were, your soul. Just forgiving your sins. He wants you to be like his Son. He wants Jesus to be made more real to you day by day. He wants you to be changed into his likeness. More and more. And so, let's take these things to heart and say, Lord Jesus, you have called us to holiness. You have called us to be pure and to be godly, to be separated from the world, to be separated unto yourself, to be set apart for your service. You have called us to be just like your Son. And now, Lord, you offer Jesus to us. Jesus has come to live in his temple. And with his love, my heart is aglow. Jesus, I pray that you would come to each of us, that this holy life would be imparted to us in a greater way this day. Lord, as we learn to obey you, as we learn to submit to you, as we learn to yield to you and to your working, we know, Lord Jesus, that you take fuller control and you change us into your likeness. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd fill us today. Fill us afresh, Lord, with the Holy Spirit so that we can live holy lives, pleasing in your sight. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deeper in that holy life, till I'm lost with Christ in God, hidden with my blessed Lord, while I walk this earthly sun, deeper in that holy life, till I'm lost with Christ in God, hidden with my blessed Lord, while I walk this earthly sun. Johanna, would you pray with us, please?
Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love to us and your mercy towards us. I ask that you would help to make us holy, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give us that sanctification that we desire, oh Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
help us, Lord, as we seek to do your will and to do those things that would please you, oh Jesus.
Yes,
I ask that you would bless us today and help us to serve you.
Amen. 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 The Lord bless you. Keep you today in your work, in your free time. Let's be holiness to the Lord.